Blog Talk Radio.
I dialed the thing. Oh, hung up on me.
What? Now can you try my phone?
I can hear you.
Whoops. Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, the 31st of October. We do not give any credit to the devil whatsoever. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. What? Why do you... Oh! Do you know what... Just trying to think of why my mic is...
Can you hear it now?
Throwing what it's throwing. But... it's great to have you with us. Tune into the program, wherever it is. I'm just so glad that you've tuned in tonight. And I hope that if you're having people coming to your door, I hope you're using tonight as an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. A great way to do that is passing out tracts. I've heard of people that do that, where, yeah, they'll pass out some candy, but they'll also pass out a tract. And that's a great thing.
I think that's a great idea.
I really do. I agree. It's a great thing when people, you know, because then you're being a witness.
Yeah, you're getting the name of the Lord out.
And you're getting
there.
The name of the Lord out. And you don't want to condemn him and be like, you shouldn't be trick-or-treating. If you dare eat one piece of that candy, you're going to hell. No. But you can use it to bring, to pass out a tract and tell them about the Lord Jesus. That's because it's a great way to be a witness to your neighborhood. It really is. And that can even mean that for Christmas, maybe you find a nativity that says his name is Jesus.
Amen it is.
And you put it up there and it flashes. As you go by it, as people drive by it and they see it, they'll look at it. I pray they'll look at it. Amen. Because I would want people to see it if I had a thing that said that. I don't mean a thing. I mean a nativity sign. I mean, this is really cool. So the other day, me and my mom were at a Walmart in a neighboring town, and we saw, my mom bought this picture frame thing. It was in the Christmas section, and it literally said, and you shall have a son, and you shall call him the name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
Have you ever seen anything like that at one of these big box retailers?
I have not, but that is awesome.
Do you know who my fanny is?
I don't.
But that's the first time I've seen that in a Walmart. I would expect to see it in like a Hobby Lobby type store. is where I would expect to see it, would be a place like a Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, some place that's actually, you know, been known to be a Christian valued establishment.
Yeah, that's right. A Christian establishment. Not necessarily religious. I don't like to call it religious. Some people will say, you know, when we get saved, some people will say you got religion. But, you know, I try not to think about it as a religion. Because here's the thing about just religion. Religion is just a list of do's and a list of don'ts. Not enough power to do the do's. Not enough power to stop doing the don'ts. Are y'all listeners out there? Amen. Sorry. Because when you think about it, that's all religion is.
I totally agree with you.
But you know, Christianity and having the Holy Spirit, you know, that's where it's at. As opposed to just some kind of, you know, religion. Or these people that might say, well, you shouldn't do that. That's sacrilegious. Well, you know, we might have a phrase like, well, we don't do that. That's ungodly. But they think more of it as being against the religion as opposed to what's godly and what's ungodly. There is a difference. Don't you agree?
I do.
There's a difference between something being sacrilegious and something being ungodly. You know, because the different, you know, religions of the world, and Christianity is known to be a religion. So we could say we're religious in that aspect. Because what is a Christian? A Christian is a follower of Christ. And here's the thing. Before the book of Acts, you know, okay, before Antioch, you know, the book of Acts where it talks about Antioch, Antioch was the first place where the disciples of Jesus were called Christians. Just thought I would tell you where it was in case you haven't been reading your Bibles.
Or just hasn't gotten to that part of the Bible yet.
But,
or just haven't, or gotten,
just,
to
or just haven't gotten to that part of the Bible. But nonetheless, before that, they would be called like followers of the way. WAY. Like the way of Christ. And obviously it was right to be called followers of the way, because when we think about it, Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life.
Amen.
So he is all of those. But that's where we first get the title Christians, is from Antioch. And you know, and it was a great church. Ministers were going in and out of there, people being sent in, people being brought in, people being sent out. And, brought up and sent out as opposed to rising up and going out. But those people, you see, were rose up when they were brought up in the ways of, you know, at least they were taught in the ways of God. And then they, you know, went about, those who taught in the Antioch church. And that's where we get being called Christians from. And so, tomorrow, I believe, is All Saints Day. Yeah, I believe that's the right story. It's tomorrow, that's All Saints Day.
That I do not know.
But yeah. Yeah, listeners, that's the way I've understood it. And then, of course, you know, later in November, we have Thanksgiving. And you think about it. Tomorrow is November 1st. And the last couple of years, we've had a station around this area here where I live switch to Christmas music at midnight on the start of the 1st.
Of November?
Yes, literally.
Oh, my goodness.
I think they did that at first during COVID. The last 2 years, I heard them do it at midnight.
Do you like that?
I do. Don't you?
I do.
What made you think I didn't like it?
I was asking. I didn't know one way or the other.
Right, but I do. I love it that they do that. Because some people are like, well, you should only play Christmas music between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Or if it's not Christmas Eve, it's too early.
My husband listens to Christmas music year-round.
Really?
Yep.
But the thing is, the reason why I don't necessarily all year-round and just some during the summer a little bit and then November, December, is so that we get excited for when it comes.
That makes sense, but he gets excited all year-round about it.
He does?
He does.
How has he managed to still be excited about it?
He just loves Christmas.
Well, me too. Maybe I'll try that then. I might try it then. I just might. You know? We'll just see. Because we're about to launch into the season. If you decide that it's part of November and December, then we're launching it in about just a hair over 5 hours.
Countdown begin.
Yeah, let it begin, you know, and dun dun dun. I was in a store today. I was in the Walmart store here where I live. Walmart Supercenter here where I live. They had literally taken away the whole Harvest Day section. They basically, everything was gone from it, just a few costumes and stuff like that. But you know what I assume they're going to do? Dun, dun, dun. Welcome to Christmas.
Oh.
Yay.
Christmas went to Wonderland.
It makes sense why I yayed that.
Yeah.
Because I think it would be cool if on Christmas Eve everyone went door to door as a gift exchange. That would be so cool.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
It'd be expensive, though.
Well, it could be candy.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the idea.
You just want more candy.
I'm not the only person.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people agree with the free candy idea.
Yeah. Yeah, this time the adults get to participate, and they get to get a full-size Kit Kat.
Ooh.
Maybe they'll hand out some cookies, and not just candy bars, but hand out some Christmas cookies.
Ooh.
I like that.
I like it, too.
People could go door-to-door exchanging goodies and stuff like that, you know? And it could be, like, especially if everybody participates.
How do we get this started?
Oh, I don't know. But we have to think of a cool name to call the exchange of truths. Something to deal with Christmas. You know, especially, and what if we all had horses and carriages to ride from house to house?
That would be really cool.
I've never been on a Christmas horse and carriage. I need to this season.
I agree. I feel the same way.
You haven't been on one either?
No, I have not.
But you've seen them advertised.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I know of in an area where I live, an area about 15 minutes from me, listeners, called Bay City. They do this thing like at the end of November to like the final Sunday before Christmas. They do this thing called Sundays in the City, which I haven't been to yet, but I've been meaning to go to it, wanting to go at least. And they'll do things like, I've been told that they do things like carriage rides and stuff.
They do?
Yes. And hopefully they'll have, you know, carolers and stuff and the way Christmas was meant to be. I wonder, when do you think it was that caroling actually really went down? I feel like it was before our time, don't you?
I think it was, yeah.
So it's not like it was going great up until you and I were born.
Right.
You feel like it was going downhill even before that.
I do.
I wonder what happened.
That's a good question.
Maybe that could be part of it going back. They hear the carolers come by, and then they give out the treats. You know, the cookies and whatever that they have prepared for their neighbors.
I like it.
Yeah, like, are we going to have the neighborhood Christmas party? The neighborhood Christmas? Candy potluck or whatever, you know? Are you going to participate? Well, you're not going to participate, you know? And then you've got, like, the from around the neighborhood, you have someone adding it up, you know, and stuff. Like, are you going to participate? So-and-so made this new, you know, cookie type thing. Well, we ain't doing Christmas this year.
Yeah.
Said the cranks.
That would be awful.
I'm like, what? But you know. And people can think, you know, and I'll mention this again as Christmas, you know, comes closer. But, you know, without Christmas, we could not have, you know, Jesus being in the grave. And we couldn't have him being rose from the dead.
That's true.
So guess what? No Christmas, no Easter. Have you ever heard it said that way before or no? But it makes sense, doesn't it?
It does make sense.
No Christmas, no Easter. Meaning if Christ was not born, how could he be dead? How could he be rose from the dead?
Right.
And some people will try to say, well, Easter is more important than Christmas. Or Christmas is more important than Easter. Oh, equally. Equal. Very much equal. Because you can't have one without the other. Because the fact of the matter is, he's not a baby in a manger anymore. And he's not a broken man on the cross. He did not stay in the grave.
Hallelujah to that. Yes,
and he didn't. You can't have one without the and you can't have one without the other. You can't. So it is. But you know, I thank Jesus for who he is and what he's done. So it's just kind of a little bit of what's been my heart. So you can tell I'm looking forward to the holidays, and I'm not going to be a Grinch about it either. If anyone dare come near my house when I put my Christmas tree up in about a week and a half and try to knock it down, it won't be pretty for them. It will not be pretty for them. Oh, no. it just won't be. Or you try to turn off my Christmas music.
Yeah, no, thank you.
No bueno. Or turn off my Christmas lights. No bueno.
No bueno.
There was someone that used to tease me about, not that they were going to turn off mine, but their wife, who is in heaven now, his wife, who is in heaven now, she loved, you know, Christmas and everything else and all that and stuff. And he loved it too, but he didn't want that stuff being up like before Christmas Eve, really, what have you. So I would ask him, you know, how many times did you turn off the light Christmas lights or her music? And he'd say, well, 3 times today. That's funny, isn't it?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, then I'd be like, how many times did you turn it off? And she'd say, really? Why is he turning my stuff off? So I said, if you go turning my stuff off, if I have it turned on and you're going to turn it off, it won't be pretty for you. It just won't be pretty for you. You know, for whenever I decide to put it up, like in like a week and a half, 2 weeks or so, like whenever that is, it will be before Thanksgiving.
I think it should just be all year round.
But not everybody does it all year round. That's the thing. There's a season for everything.
That's true.
The season of Christmas is coming. Because I think of Christmas as a season, not just a one day or a 1 week, you know?
Right.
And even the football team will have at least a season of games. That would be like at least like 4, 5, 6 weeks of games. That's why I like to put mine up by mid-November and have it up into January, like the 6th or the 8th or the 10th or the 11th or something. Because I believe that Christmas is a season.
That makes sense.
And so if you say, 'tis the season, it's not supposed to be 'tis the week.
That's true.
Just kind of have given you a couple of things to keep in mind as we transition into the holiday period. You say you think Thanksgiving is part of the holidays? I do. I really do. You say, and some of you might say, and why do you say holidays instead of Christmas? Well, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. Some referring to like the holiday season. And so.
That makes sense then, yeah.
And so it makes sense. And you know, there's, and you know, as you start to prepare yourself, you know, and that, we got to realize they all have importance. All three of them have importance for Christians. Thanksgiving, it's where we give thanks to God. Christmas, you know, we celebrate his birth. New Year's, we celebrate what God did for us.
Amen.
In the previous year, and we pray over the new year. They all have importance for Christians. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, thank you. I want to thank you folks for just letting me exhort you briefly for a few minutes on that, because I know, you know, as the time gets, you know, as the time comes. I mean, it's fun, but, you know, as the different holidays come close, for some of us, it can be kind of stressful. But I know I love it. But you know, so someone who's trying to make different things or get ready to do a certain thing or whatever, it can be, you know, just, you should always be grateful. Always.
Amen to that.
Amen. So I want to remind you of a couple of things before I sing a couple of songs and get into the word of the Lord for tonight, which tonight I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 2. I'm kind of feeling right now like I'm supposed to do a series on Proverbs. I just feel like I'm supposed to do that at this moment. And then, of course, when we get to, like, those last 2 weeks before Christmas, you know, I'll be teaching on Christmas, you know, the birth of Jesus, what it means, you know, that kind of stuff. But for right now, I feel like I'm supposed to get into Proverbs.
Amen.
So, and Proverbs is awesome. And there's so many great things to have learned, you know, and understanding. And different things like that. Things like training a child in the way they should go. And when they are old, when he is old, he will not depart. And I know that for a fact. It's not just something I say. Train up a child in the way, when he is old. I mean, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart.
Amen.
And here's the thing. I'm not 60 or 70, 50, or whatever you want to call old. But I haven't departed.
Amen and praise God for that.
You're right. I've been brought up, you know, not every person who is a Christian has been that fortunate to be able to say, I've stayed with it the whole time. Not everyone's been able to say that like me, but I have. And it's been great to serve my Jesus. It really has been great to serve my Jesus. And I thank God. I thank God for what he's done.
Amen.
In my life.
And yes.
Wonder. I don't think I would have made it without him. You know what? I never would have made it without him. I never would have made it without him.
None of us would.
I would have lost my mind. I'm going to remind you of a couple of things that I always remind you of, though. First thing I want to remind you about is about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life. It's a story of how great God has been, how God has always been there for us as we've went through life. And when you think about it, you don't just get one testimony, you get two. It's a two for one. And Mom, if you're listening, happy 35th anniversary of getting saved, giving your life to Jesus. Happy 35th anniversary.
Amen.
Happy 35th spiritual birthday, Mom. You know what's wild? I just thought about that. And I felt the need to acknowledge you right there, Mom, if you're listening. 35 years ago today, she went to a shelter here in Midland. You know, was a friend or two. You know what? She found out about that? She found out about Jesus. Now, she had been brought up in Wesleyan and stuff like that, and they know about Jesus and all that, but my mom had not been in church in 11 years.
11 years?
Prior to that. My mom had not been in church for 11 years. She had went to church all the time before then. But, it was because she was basically gray, because her father was a pastor. So it was more or less out of submission rather than honor. You know how?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now she's all about being a Christian. She's all about it.
Hallelujah.
And I thank God for that. Because,
amen.
Because the way I was born, and I think about that, and the way I was born and all that kind of stuff, she could have just decided, you know, if she didn't have Jesus, she could have just easily decided, you know what, it's going to be so much of a hassle. I think I'll just go through and have an abortion. She decided not to.
Amen.
Doctors told her that she was selfish. Yeah, they said you are being selfish right now. You know what? She didn't care. She didn't care.
And praise Jesus.
And I thank you, and I thank God for that.
Amen.
I'm still alive. You know, I'm grateful. It's her 35th spiritual birthday, and I'm grateful that she said yes to Jesus and decided, you know, now it took her some time. Now it took her a little bit of time, but over the course of months, a year or two, she gave up drinking. She gave up drinking and abusing alcohol. She gave up drugs. She gave up nicotine. She said no to all of that and yes to Jesus. She decided that to her, Jesus was the most important thing.
And that's
in that book, Rivers of Miracles. So you get not just my testimony, but you also get part of my mother's as well. So it's like you get a 2-for-1. It's not like, you only get the story of the miracle man in there, but you don't get any of the testimony of my mom. You only get that of the miracle man. No, you get both. In the book, and it doesn't raise the price either. It's still the same price. It's 2-for-1.
Amen.
So hey, you can think of it that way. It's a 2-for-1.
Come on down, bargain shoppers. We got a beautiful day.
What's that? good job, Jade. We could do maybe at Comic-Con we could have people advertising, you know, at the mall to get them to come in.
There you go.
You know, have a big sign on east, next to the highway, on the freeway that says Comic-Con, and it's all lit up.
Yeah.
It has a picture of me wearing my little Snoopy doohickey. You know.
That'd be cute.
That would be cool having that for the book.
Yeah.
And be like, we'll see if you're that excited about Jesus.
Amen.
Because people can be excited about some comic stuff, which by the way, you don't want to idolize any of it. You don't want to idolize it. Don't even idolize your pastor. Don't idolize your pastor. As much of a man of God as he might be, you don't want to idolize him.
Have no other idols within me.
Even if, but he's a man, but my pastor is a man of God. Well, thou shalt have no idols before me. Jesus said that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. But it's not part of my message. It was just on my heart. I don't know why, but I guess tonight I'm just a man of many words. You know,
speak the truth.
It's just the truth. But you know, I just give it thought. And I'm like, I just thank Jesus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That it's because of what she decided to do on October 31st of 1988. She decided to get free. Oh, and by the way, she didn't know quite yet that she was pregnant for me. It's not like she was like, oh, I'm pregnant. So now I'm gonna go, you know, call out to God and ask him to free me. And no, it was before that. Before she knew that she was pregnant for me. Even though it would have been a few days after the pregnancy would have started. Yeah. But you can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out about the book and how it can be a blessing to your life. I know I shared, you know, some of my mom's story in that tonight, but I just feel grateful. Because what if on that fateful October 31st of 88, what if she didn't? Yeah, what if she just decided, I'm going to go to a party. I'm going to, you know, what if she decided, what is this Jesus thing anyway? Nope. She, you know, and then she found out about, you know, Living Word Church and stuff. I don't want to say she found God. Anytime I find myself thinking I found God, I cast that thought to the ground, and you know what I think?
He found
you. Didn't find God. He found you.
Amen.
Because he was not lost. You were the one that was lost.
Amen.
He
that's such
you.
A valid point.
He found you. And I know a lot of times when they might say they found him, they mean not like slang or whatever. People in prison will say they found God. I feel like some of the time they don't mean it. Do you ever feel like some of those people in prison when they'll say, I saw God today? Do you feel like some of them don't even mean it?
I try not to question because it's not my place to.
But, okay, that makes sense, but sometimes you just wonder.
Yeah, I guess sometimes you're like, oh, okay, well, you say that, but you're not exactly
Wrote a country song about that, about 12, 13 years ago, and it was kind of high on the charts.
I'm not sure I know the song.
It's called I Saw God Today. Don't look it up right now, but I'm just saying.
Right.
I'm just saying, you could write a country and western song about it. And maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But I'm just saying. You know, Jesus found you. And why we're here? To seek and save the lost. And there's a lot of lost people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed, listeners, It's a weird day today. It's a weird day these days. It's weird. Mm-hmm. But then again, you know, the Bible says in the last days, you know, it doesn't exactly, some versions might say weird, but, you know. But you can go online to the website, Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book. Okay, the other thing I want to remind you about, real quick, is about PayPal. Sowing your seed into the Miracle Man program. As you sow you can sow your seed into the Miracle Man program if this has been a blessing to your life. I pray that it's been a blessing to your life. I really do. And it's not something I say lightly. I really mean it when I say that I pray that it's been a blessing to you, that me doing this program has been a blessing to you. I want you to be blessed. I really do. It means a lot. I really want you blessed. And so as you sow your seed, this helps keep us going. I don't tell you what to give. And guess what else I'm not going to do, listeners? I am not going to turn my episodes into fundraisers. I mean, some radio stations do that, and, you know, that are listener supported, and they'll do that. And, you know, yeah, if that's what they want to do, they can go ahead. But I don't do that here. I just keep on keeping on. You know, teaching the words and exhorting on giving, but I don't change my outfit of episodes to be all about, well, if you give this much, you go, you received a special gift, you receive this from the Miracle Man, nope, I don't do that here. So you can go online to PayPal to sow your seed. And by the way, when you sow your seeds into this program, this Miracle Man, it is fertile ground, good ground. There's nothing bad about this ground. It all goes into the ministry. All of it. Everything you put in. I do not use it to fatten my wallet, to fatten my pocketbook or anything like that. I don't do that. I won't do that. I use it to keep us going. Mm-hmm. And so you can go online to paypal.com, and in the search bar, you'll type in my name, Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. A couple punctuation things. Rivers, you know, as you're typing out Rivers, the first I on that, of course, is capitalized because it's the first name. Yeah. And then the Shukla, S, capitalized. Also, there's a space between Rivers and Shukla, just to make sure that you're aware. And so that you know, as you sow your seed, it's going to the right place. And whenever I get notification that seed's been sown, I thank God for the seed. I thank God for the seed when people sow seed. I really do thank God for that. It's not something that I take lightly and go, yay, he sowed a seed. I thank God for it. I really do. Because as Christians, we should be grateful people. We should be. And so, now, and the verse I want to going to you tonight says, therefore God loves a cheerful giver. not a giver that just gives out of what they feel necessity, you know, or like, I just do it to be Mr. or Mrs. Goody Two Shoes. If you're trying to be Goody Two Shoes and trying to give just to be Goody Two Shoes, just go ahead and keep it. No, y'all want to do it. We sow into the ministry. We give an offering because we love what the gospel has done in our lives.
Amen.
Don't you love what it's done for you? I don't just like it. I do like it, but I love it. I love it. I love what God's done for me. Honestly, if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be dead. I can just about guarantee you I'd be dead. I can. Honestly, just about guarantee you. But I'd be dead right now. And I have this motto. If I'm not dead, he's not gone.
Amen.
Why would he leave me sitting here and just decide he was done? Why? He wouldn't. And he won't. He won't fail. He doesn't fail. So now I'm going to sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord for tonight. Nothing can separate, even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have your mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. You stand the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh. The wind is strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. The castle was far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. You stand the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans wave, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh, you make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. He who make all things work together for my good. Yes. You stand the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, Because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you are. You stay the same. You stay the same forever, Jesus. The more I seek you, more I love you, the more I love you, the more I love, the more I find you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say, and I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, lay back against you and breathe, drink from the cup in your hand. It's over, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say, I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. Yeah, it's overwhelming, your peace. Oh, I wanna sit at your feet, lay back against you, lay back against you and breathe, and feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say, I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say, I melt in your peace, It's overwhelming. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you are, for who you are. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for what you're doing in us, for what you've started, for what you're doing right now, for what you're about to start. Thank you, Jesus, for your hand being upon us. And it's great, as it's great to be a Christian. It's great to be a Christian. It's great to be a Christian. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for every person who has made the determination to tune in to this broadcast tonight. Wherever you are tuning in from, I'm grateful to you for them, that they have tuned in to this broadcast, that they're ready to, that they're here to study your word, to learn of your word, to learn of your ways, Jesus. Thank you that you meet every need represented tonight, that you strengthen us in every way, that you just bring strength to us, that you bring healing to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing and for what you're going to do, Master. I thank you for that and for what you are about to do. In the name of Jesus. And now I make my confession. I thank you that sponsors and partners come. I thank you that more and more listeners come into this program. I thank you that finances come to this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom, Jesus, as a result of this radio program, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Proverbs. We're going to go to chapter 2 tonight, because we did number 1 last night. What comes after 1? 2. Amen. Now I know what Proverbs 2 is, but I'm turning the pages, you know, seeing if one of y'all can beat me. So that if my mom tries to tease me when we'll play board games like dice or whatever, she'll try to tell me that I'm a cheetah.
Only when you weigh a cheetah, she...
Oh, no, she officially, a year ago, we were up in the Cadillac, and she came right out and said, Rhea, you know that you're a cheetah. She did. She came up with that like last August.
Oh, that's funny. But you're worse when you wear your cheetah shirt.
How do you know?
That's what she jokes.
What?
That's what she jokes about.
Yeah, you heard her say that.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't want y'all thinking I was a cheetah or anything. You know, not a cheater, that's different. Just a cheetah. So we kind of give me a hard time about it. I love it. I think it's funny. But, you know. But anyhow, Proverbs 2, verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. Oh, another if. And if you call for insight and cry aloud for understanding. Oh, and if you look, another if there. There's that if again. Mm-hmm. Try a lot for understanding. And if you look for it as you do for silver and search for it as you would for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Verse 11. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. For men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you, will also save you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant that she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. So, what you see here, if you have that God kind of wisdom, it'll keep you from people who are wicked, who are perverse. Now, sometimes you might not be able to tell when someone's perverse. Isn't it true? Ain't that true? Some people can be so sneaky. You can think they're just when they're not. You can think, oh yeah, I'm just, I read my Bible, I pray, and all this stuff. And then only to find out that they're not. They don't pray. Either they lie or they just don't live like you might think they do. And I just And then I know there's all kinds of great things in Proverbs. And when you think about it, it really is relevant. People will try to say, oh, the Old Testament is not for today. Tithings of the Old Testament, it's not for today. Excuse me? Tithings of the New Testament as well. And guess what else? The Old Testament is still relevant. Even though we're under the New Covenant with Jesus, still relevant. It is saved for us so that we can look at it and learn things of it. And it's important for God's people to understand the stories of Moses. Now, on top of it mentioning, you know, in chapter 2, lots of wisdom, you know, wisdom, you know, even last night, she raises her voice in the streets and all that kind of stuff, you know. There's also understanding, being able to understand, being able to distinguish good from evil, people. Not just what is good and what is evil, but is someone good or are they evil? Part of understanding, when I think of what understanding is like being able to understand the difference, being able to understand what someone's trying to tell you. Imagine if you hear what I say tonight and you don't understand it, and therefore it goes right back out your ear. We have a word for that, in one ear, out the other. I don't want this to be in one ear, out the other. I want you to understand it. I want you to get it down there in your brain. And you know, and I don't want you to misunderstand me either. You know, that not only, you know, did we read about wisdom, even though wisdom is important, but you want to be able to have understanding. Because, let me give you an example. How can you live in the ways of God when you can't understand them? Understanding is crucial. And of course, knowledge is also key. Knowledge is important. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When he said that, he wasn't talking about Yale or let me think of some other ones, or Boston College or Harvard or University of Michigan or, you know, or any other university. Nor was he talking about your high school, your middle school, even your elementary school or your preschool. He wasn't talking about schooling. He was talking about knowledge of the things of God.
Amen. Yeah.
Not your own earthly learning that you do as you walk the face of the earth and go to school and what have you. That's earthly knowledge. And not just of reading, writing, and arithmetic, the three R's. So we always say, yeah, but reading, writing has a W on it first, and then arithmetic actually has an A. I know, but there's a guy I like to follow, you know, that I've heard say it this way, you know, from Eastern, who is from Eastern Kentucky, you know, and I love the South so much, so I'm going to say it this way. Reading, writing, arithmetic. The three R's. But no, it's not talking about reading, writing, arithmetic. It's talking about God, the knowledge of the things of God. Because you have to have knowledge and understanding in order to use wisdom. You use wisdom after you learn and understand things. Don't get mad at me, young people. But some of these older folk, they're not only older than you, they're wiser. They've been through life before.
Mm-hmm.
They've been through it. And some of you younger folk can sit there and think, well, nobody knows, all that stuff. Well, your grandma and grandpa have been a young person before. Your mother and your father have been young people before. Your pastor has been a young person before. If you're in youth group or young adult group or whatever, they've been a young person before. They have. And yes, and there might be differences between, different things and technologies and different things between, you know, a young person of today and a young person of, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago and what have you. And that's true. I mean, there's even differences compared to when I was a young person. But
that's how it goes.
But that's how it goes. But, you know, and it's through them, through some of these older people, that you can help gain wisdom. And then, of course, there's the wisdom that you get through following God. As you go through, you know, learn more and more things about God, you learn wisdom. And what the true God kind of wisdom is. Of course, understanding is getting it in your mind. Oh, that's how it is. That's how God, you know, that's how it works like this. Oh, I see now. Faith without works is dead. You know, I'm just giving you an example. Or you know, being able to understand what your infirmity is. Oh, this is my infirmity. But being able to trust God. Because here's the thing. In order to have faith, you got to be able to trust in God. No faith, no trust. Parents, you got to be able to trust. You got to be able to trust your kids, you know, to do certain things, you know, particularly if they're older or whatever. That when you do that, that's having faith. But I would say you should have more faith in God than what you do your own kids. Because when you have faith in God and do not doubt him and you believe, that's where you can get miracles. It's when you have faith. You know, through your faith, you got to have faith. You can have faith for your miracle.
Amen.
Because, you know, if you have faith, then you can be able to ask, seek, find, knock. No, I didn't knock on wood. I did, but not for, you know, what people will say, knock on wood and this is what will happen. I think that's where they, I wonder if that's where they get knock on wood from. Knock and the door will be open. Knock on wood that this won't happen. Knock on wood and I'll be able, you know.
Right.
That knocking on wood doesn't do a thing. It does it. Trust in the Lord, not knock on wood. I never heard knock on wood so much as I have in the last like 4 years. Is it just me or have you heard it a lot more the last few years too?
Yeah.
You never used to hear it that much before this.
No.
When you were a teenager, you didn't even know what knock on wood meant, did you?
I did not, no.
Yet now they'll say it, like knocking on wood will fix it. No! Trust in God. Knock, oh yeah, knock on wood, then it'll get better. No! Pray to Jesus. And ask him to heal you. Ask him to save your family member. Ask him to do whatever it is that you're believing for. And, you know, and as you grow in God, and you'll get that understanding of the things of God. Because for a new Christian, you got to be able, you know, you don't just want to hear it. You got to be able to understand it. Understand it. To get it in your brain. This is the kingdom of God. Here is how it works. This is what God blesses. This is what God does not bless. Because guess what, listeners? There are things that God does not bless. Like sinning against his word. That is why that verse is in there that he said, you know, that God doesn't take pleasure in those who continue to do wrong. So get joy from doing wrong. And why you should stay away from such people. God does not bless them. That doing wrong. Taking joy in doing wrong. He doesn't bless them. That'd be like rewarding your kid who may have been using, you know, questionable language by taking them to ice cream anyway without them even repenting or anything like that. No. God does not reward those who willfully sin against him. He will not reward them. Yeah, just things that a Christian should understand. And then as you understand more, then wisdom comes. More understanding, more wisdom. Doesn't it only make sense that the more you understand, the more wisdom you'll have?
Yes.
That at first you have to be able to understand it in order to get wisdom. If you don't understand it, how much wisdom you think you're going to have?
None.
Not that much. Zero understanding? Zero wisdom. Zero wisdom. More understanding? More wisdom. You know, even in God it can be this. It can be like this. You know, some people will say, I heard someone say a while back, you know, I heard them say, now I wouldn't mind being in my early 20s if I knew then what I knew now. They weren't in their 20s. They were like 60s. They were like, I wish I knew in my 20s what I do now.
A lot of people feel that way.
You know, especially as they get, you know, not so young anymore. They get up there in their ages. I'm in their numbers get higher. You know, just their numbers of years that they've been alive have been, you know, as they get into their, you know, 60s, 70s, 50s, yeah, 60s, 70s. They'll be like, I wish I knew in my 20s and 30s what I do now. Like, they'll look at their younger adulthood. And they'll be like, I wish I knew then what I know now. But the truth is, you know, as we go through life, you know, we gain more and more understanding of how it is. You know, even in terms of the kingdom of God. Hopefully, you know, those of you in youth group are learning the word of God and not just roller skating and having pizza. Okay, I came up with pizza, but I'm, you know, eating pizza, watching movies, bowling. Yeah, I love some of your pizza, but should be learning about the word of God. I can't believe that I bragged and said that, yeah, I love some of that pizza. But nonetheless, you know, somebody's got to eat.
And pizza's good.
Yes, it is. But that shouldn't take the place of the word of God. You want to have pizza? You want to have candy night? Give me a Reese's. As I was out there harvesting candy, I was looking for the Reese's. Thankfully, there were some. Thank you, Jesus. I thank the Lord for that God kind of wisdom. For that God kind of understanding. That comes from following Jesus, following the Lord. It comes from hearing the word of God preached. That's another reason why finding yourself in a spirit-filled church is very important. In a church that believes the Bible, the whole Bible, and doesn't water it down. My pastor, he does not water it down. I'm so grateful to God that he doesn't water it down. There's some pastors who will water it down and they'll preach, oh, it's okay to just live any way you want to.
Those aren't very good pastors.
They're not very good. Yeah, I went to one church, you know, we were in Ohio driving through, you know, and we went to this church, you know, so it could show us kind of what it was like. And we get there, we notice in the lobby a play place for children, like the ones you would see in shopping malls. That have popped up, you know, since the late 1990s or so. Is that when those became a thing? Do you think the mall play places became a thing was like the mid-90s or late 90s?
I think so.
So they had one of those. And then a place like that. And then they had a fountain to get yourself free sodas. And also, you know, free coffee. Yes, I was up to a free soda. Coca-Cola with no ice. Beverage of choice. For the Miracle Man. Coca-Cola with no ice in it, of course. Because ice takes up too much space. And who needs that? but anyhow, so we get into the service. And they sing a song. The word Jesus is not mentioned once in that service.
What?
But they said, you are the air that I'm breathing. You are the song that I'm singing. And they did this, like, the one song. Then, but before the service, they played Kix on Route 66. God makes a joke about a girl who's not his girlfriend, but a friend that's a girl. Offering is taken. He talks about power, like kind of power, and that, and he just says, like, you know, there's power and all that, but doesn't say the power of God. He didn't say the power of God. Maybe once something, but, you know, If you say, you know, you are the air I'm breathing, you are the song I'm singing, you are, won't even say the name Jesus. And I'm like, wow. But it took me a little bit after that to realize, you know, people can get sucked in. And think, yeah, free soda, you know, service that goes just a little bit over an hour. Let me think. Oh yeah, we got a play place for the kids. Oh yeah, so I'm thinking, you know, as I was thinking, I was like, where's the real word? But they watered it down. That is watered down. User-friendly, seeker-sensitive. No, not sensitive to those seeking the Holy Spirit. If what you're seeking, but you got to find yourself a church where they teach the Bible and they don't water it down just because it might be popular. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you, Jesus, that we would not only gain wisdom, but we would gain understanding. Help us to understand your word. Not just read it, but have real understanding in our minds of this is how it is. And that we would understand you, Jesus. And I thank you for what you're doing. And I just thank you, Lord, for that. Amen.
Amen.
And until tomorrow. Now, a real quick sports update. Last night, the Lions did win 26-14 over the Las Vegas Raiders. And it was just great to see them get a win. We had Barry Sanders in the building, and I got to hear an interview that the radio people had with him. And that was pretty cool. I had never watched Barry play because he played in the 90s. But we put together a great team. And that's 6-2. I don't think we're done. I think we still have more games, a lot more games to win this season. I think we're for real. I really do. We just got to keep on winning. At home and on the road. Keep the wins coming. They're doing a lot of things right. I just wish they would have some less injuries. That injury list is a bit longer than what I would like right now. But hey, it's the game, part of the game. And so this next week is their bye week.
That means time off, right?
Yes. And so they'll hopefully get a chance to get some players healthy and be able to get up and at 'em on Sunday the 12th. So we're able to just get back up and at 'em and being ready to tackle the season and what comes. So from our predictions, 4 out of the 5 that I made were right, which if you ask me is real good. It's not perfect, but it's very good. All right, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will talk to you all tomorrow night.